Afternoon, Lake Norman, and welcome to Town Talk. We're coming to you live from WSIC, the Real Talk studio, nestled on the banks of beautiful Lake Norman, streaming worldwide from Cleveland, Ohio to Enfield, Connecticut, population 44,466. I'm Bill Russell, your host today of Town Talk, president of Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, the largest chamber of commerce in the greater Charlotte region. My guests today are Stuart Maddow. He is the general manager of Visiting Angels Lake Norman, Judy Godwin, who is the Director of Community Relations at the Blanchard Institute, and Jennifer Stanger. She is the Director of the Blanchard Associates, and my producer, Bill Blakely, in the other room. Bill, I was listening earlier this morning. Stuart, I never get out of bed that I'm not listening to Good Morning LKN. And this morning, they brought up Gilligan's Island, and Bill Blakely, my producer, said, I've heard of Gilligan's Island.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm not really familiar with Gilligan's Island. Who hasn't heard of Gilligan's Island? I mean, you grew up on Gilligan's Island, didn't you?
I know Gilligan's Island.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Judy?
Oh, yes.
And they were asking, even the station owner, Jessica Zeppes, was going like, did they ever get rescued? And I'm going like, yeah, I'm listening to everything they're saying. Sure, they had the, what, three movies come on?
Yeah, in the movies. And I still want to marry Marianne.
Yeah, she was adorable. But I think one of the episodes, the movies, they actually got stranded again back on the island or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sadly, I know the whole history of Gilligan's Island.
But I couldn't believe, Bill, how do you not know Gilligan's Island?
Oh, I know Gilligan's Island. There's a difference between my normal brain power and my brain power at 7:15 in the morning when Justin's ping-ponging all over the place. So he caught me flat-footed, that's for sure.
Okay, today has significance. Do you know what today is, Bill, other than, yes, it's Wednesday?
Educate me.
Today is American Red Cross Giving Day. Did y'all know that? You're in the healthcare field. You didn't know?
I did not know this.
Last Wednesday, the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, we partnered with the Community Blood Bank, and we had 14 people come out and give pints of blood. We partnered with WSIC and Rose Pharmacy, and we had 14 pints, which I didn't know if that was good or bad, but they were exceptionally pleased that we had 14 people come out and give blood. So we really appreciated that. Enfield, Connecticut.
That's right.
Jennifer, what is Enfield famous for?
Tobacco? Yes.
Okay.
Well, so Enfield, Connecticut, the name comes from, it is the northernmost town in Connecticut. So it's right on the border of Springfield, Massachusetts. So it's known as being the end of the fields. So Enfield, and it is most known for its growing of tobacco, which Connecticut is actually one of the largest tobacco growers in the United States.
And also gunpowder. You mentioned Springfield, Massachusetts,
yes.
Springfield Arms, gunpowder, and I'm a farmer, so garden seed.
Interesting. I did not know that. There's a lot of farms in the area, which people don't really think of that as being a farm country, but it definitely is known for it.
Garden seed, and actually, normally on Good Friday, which is a couple of days from now, normally Good Friday, I'm planting my garden down in York County, but it's kind of early to be. Easter's coming a little bit earlier on us this year.
It's in March.
Yeah. So it's still going to be about 2-3 weeks off before I do that because the ground's still too cold and much too wet to be able to do something like that. Okay. Blanchard Institute, Blanchard Associates. Judy, how did you get into the healthcare field?
Wow. That's a loaded question. I joined the Atrium team in 1992. And they had behavioral health. Uh-huh. And I stayed there for 25 years and transferred over to Blanchard in 2016 after attending a family workshop. And it dawned on me that somebody was finally doing it right. They were treating the whole family system. And it wasn't just about the loved one that had an addiction disorder or a mental health disorder. It was about the whole family and how they had been impacted. And these folks are coming from a place of trauma. This use and the behavior that goes with the use, it traumatizes the family. So I jumped on board when I found out he was going to open up, and I'm still here almost 8 years later.
There you go. And for those of you who don't know, what is the Blanchard Institute?
It's a dual diagnosis treatment facility for substance use disorders, mental health disorders, and we are family focused.
And Jennifer, you're with Blanchard Associates. I know.
Correct.
That's in the family. So what's the difference between Blanchard Associates and Blanchard Institute?
Bill, that's an excellent question, and I'm so glad you asked that. So Blanchard and Associates has actually been around longer. So Ward Blanchard, of course, is the owner and founder of both organizations. Blanchard and Associates was his private practice, or is his private practice, which specializes in mental health, substance use, eating disorder, process addiction, interventions, case management, legal case management, safe and sober transports versus, so these are all non-clinical services, but they're the services that are really working to be able to remove the barriers to getting an individual and a family the help that they need. So how do we get the person into the treatment that they need? Versus the Blanchard Institute is a clinical treatment program specializing in substance use, offering the partial hospitalization level of care, intensive outpatient level of care, and just regular outpatient.
Judy said she came over from Atrium. You came over from fashion advertising.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How does somebody make the transition from fashion advertising into healthcare?
I know, right? Well, because fashion advertising is an incredibly unhealthy field. And I was starting to realize that. No, so I actually got into, I made this shift because of my own personal journey. And so I was really struggling with my own substance use and my own mental health and eating disorders throughout my 20s while I was working in the fashion advertising industry. And I just really got to that point where I knew I needed to make a change. And I did my long journey of trying to find help in the appropriate treatment and just getting myself onto that healthier path moving forward. And it was really something that stuck with me, that if there was anything that I could if there's anything that I could ever do to help somebody not go through what I went through, or to help somebody get out of that dynamic earlier than I did, then I wanted to be committed to doing that.
Judy, we were talking before the show came on. We had a Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce program at the Blanchard Institute. Share with people where the Institute's located here in Queen Elias.
We're located in Jeton Village. And did I say that right?
Yes, absolutely.
I've heard it spoken Jeton. And Jeton.
I would have said it incorrectly.
Okay.
Well, and if you say Jeton, we know that you're not.
Okay,
from
that's
here.
Exactly how I would have pronounced it.
Not from around.
I think I learned that early on, and so we're over off of North Cove Road in the Jeton Village Shopping Center, and we've got. It took us a little bit because when we started to open it, COVID hit, and it delayed our opening, and so it took us a couple years to actually get open, and we're enjoying being a part of the community. Oh my goodness, Lake Norman is such a thriving, interesting place to be, but we all know that the lake life can be one that has some specific ties to alcohol use.
Well,
and anywhere.
And when we get back, we're going to talk about specifically about some of the substance abuse issues. And also I want to talk about Visiting Angels, because Stuart's here with Visiting Angels. So those of you who are with us, please stay with us. We're on Town Talk at WSIC, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsor. Those of you who are streaming with us, Judy, Jennifer, Stewart, we are still live on the radio, and we're not on the radio, we're actually on social media. So we're on Facebook and LinkedIn and X and all of the podcasts and Spotify and all of that kind of stuff. So, and normally we use this time to talk about some of the Chamber of Commerce activities. Last week, you weren't at the annual meeting we had last Thursday,
right? I unfortunately had to miss it.
We had our annual meeting at Peninsula Club, and that's an opportunity where we recognize some of our community award winners. Mm. And we had Justin Gazeppes, the station owner right here, WSIC, was recognized as our Entrepreneur of the Year.
Wow.
You know, Justin came in He's a realtor. He's also an attorney, and he bought the station, I guess, about March or April last year. And he came in already making some programming changes. He started integrating local speakers. And again, some of the things that he's done here is phenomenal. But he was recognized with our McIntosh Law Firm Passion to Succeed Entrepreneur of the Year. Duke Energy Citizenship and Service Award, Robin Salzman. Robin Salzman, Jack Salzman's wife, they owned the Lake Norman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealership. They sold that over a year ago. She's created a foundation called Giving with Grace. And this past December, they invited me to a program at the Yacht Club where they gave out $250,000 to 10 area nonprofits.
Wow.
Which you're a nonprofit. You need, are you a
for-profit? We're not. We are for-profit.
You're for-profit.
Yep.
Well, 10 nonprofits, $25,000 each, $250,000 to various nonprofits.
That's
amazing. Oh, it was phenomenal. So a great, great program. We had our business person of the year, Joel Olson, who is with OT Group Ventures, also does the Sun-Raised Lamb down here. And he was recognized as our business person of the year and doing a fantastic job. How long have we got, Bill? About 30 seconds? Got 40 seconds. David Keith was recognized as the Scott Hinkle Servant Leader Award. He has been so involved. He's been president of our Rotary Club that you and I are in twice. Not once. Twice he's done that. And he did one of them while he was chairman of the board of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. So want to congratulate him as well. For those of you who are streaming with us, we're going back live in about 10 seconds. Thank you for being with us.
It's Town Talk with Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. I have Jennifer Stanger. She is the director of Blanchard Associates. Judy Godwin, who is the director of community relations at the Blanchard Institute. Stuart Maddow, who is general manager of Visiting Angels Lake Norman. And Judy, before we went to break, we were talking about the Institute and the office right here in Cornelius and Jaton Village. What's the area that you serve in terms of some of the patients and some of the people that you see, your clients?
Well, we actually opened the Lake Norman facility to help service the north part of Charlotte. So we've got Huntersville, Mooresville, Davidson, Denver, Cornelius, and we even have folks from Charlotte traveling up here. But it was just an easier commute for them to be in this area.
What is your role specifically at the Institute?
I am the Director of Community Relations. I have been talking about substance use disorders for about 34 years in the community, and my role is to keep us connected to our community in every available way. And I wanted to mention to you earlier when you talked about why we got into it, I'm that family member mm-hmm. and lost my father, my brother, and my husband to addiction disorders. And so that's my why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. How has substance use and mental health industry changed since COVID to either one of you?
Go ahead,
Jennifer. Yeah. You know, COVID really has had a significant impact on mental health. And I'm just going to use the term mental health to talk broadly about all mental health, behavioral health, substance use included in that. And it's something that we're just going to continue to see the impact year after year as the generations grow and progress. But one of the biggest things that we've seen has been with young adults. And it's just been, you know, during that time period of COVID and the isolation that just everybody was forced into. Our folks that were in schools during that time period, especially the middle school age, high school age, they're now in their early 20s. And there really is a large amount of the maturity and the social connection that they missed because of everything going remote. And so, you know, as things came out of COVID and came back to things being in person and integrating back into community, there's this lack of ability to know how to do this. And when you are put into a situation that feels unnatural for you, like so many of these young adults now are, we're more prone to have increased anxiety, increased depression. And that's when we start to turn to substance use, when we start to turn to self-harm, we start to turn to these other unhealthy coping skills to help ourselves manage because of the the normal life skills that would have been learned during those COVID years that really weren't.
And what has also changed is we went to an online lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so our young adults are ordering this off the internet. And it's being delivered by, you know.
Oh, drugs.
Mail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're ordering their drugs. You don't have to know a dope dealer to get drugs. And it's delivered to your house in a nondescript
in the internet.
Package.
Yes.
And so that has changed. That kid in the nice neighborhood is as at risk as this one over here.
Wow.
In the not so nice neighborhood. It doesn't discriminate anymore.
How important is family involvement in a recovery process?
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Yeah.
You've got to monitor what's going on. You've got to be involved in what's going on. You've got to, you know, be policing the phones and the internet activity. You have to.
How often do you come across families? Because I have some personal friends who the parents thought they had a good grasp on what their kids were doing, only to find out later they're addicted to heroin or addicted to, and it's just so hard.
Absolutely. And there are some components where it's just parents can only do so much. And there's so many outside influences as well. And so I think that's where, you know, acknowledging that parents are doing the best that they can, really trying to have those open lines of communication, you know, making it so that their children feel more connected to them. And you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge because that really needs to start early on in order for the parents and the older, you know, the teenage child to have that trust, to be able to have that relationship, to be able to talk about these bigger things. So I think one of the challenges, you know, as we're going into this continuing to be in this epidemic and the fentanyl, and parents are having more of an awareness about how much they need to be involved in their children's lives. They don't really have that relationship, that foundation of that relationship, to have those close conversations. And so they're trying to have them now, but it's a new dynamic. And so it's a little bit challenging there. But we are learning that with our younger children, that we need to start that foundation. We need to start those conversations much younger, so it doesn't feel unnatural when our children start to become 12, 13, 16, 17, 18.
The key is going to be a healthy boundary. And I had a gentleman ask me recently, well, when do I get to stop drawing these healthy boundaries? And I'm like, we should always have healthy boundaries.
Never.
So, and with our kids especially. So I would just encourage people. I think the key word also is connection, as long as we're connected and we're not leaving them up in their room by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Certainly one of those barriers that parents or families face in trying to get their kids to some type of treatment has got to also be deniability, because I'm sure that the teen or whoever is saying, I don't have a problem. What are some of the
Absolutely.
Other barriers that they face?
Yeah, it's willingness. Yeah. You know, I mean, of course, they're, even if somebody admits or acknowledges, and they can just, you know, as an adult, you can just simply refuse. And that's one of the areas, you know, that's a lot of the work that I work with is how do we remove those barriers with that family system? And so being able to work to do some interventions and helping to educate the family around what's going on with their loved one, being able to look at the impacts that mental health and substance use has on the brain so that they can get a better sense of why they're behaving in the way that they are, and what that recovery process is going to look like and why that's going to take so long. And we'll work with the families to be able to create a way, you know, I think a lot of people are aware of the show Intervention. And one of the challenges of the television show Intervention is they don't show any of the background. They don't show all the work that has gone into this event of the intervention. And, you know, we are very big that an intervention is a process. It is not just the event. The event is actually, for us as the professionals, is actually the easiest component to an intervention.
Right.
But there's a lot of work that we do with the families around setting the boundaries, about identifying what, and the key of the boundaries is they need to be boundaries that family members can hold, right? So you can't say, this is my boundary, and then not follow through with it, because the family member that we're trying to intervene on is going to very quickly pick up on that person is weak in their boundaries, and I can manipulate that. And so really trying to be able to get the strong family system to come in. And it's the piece that says, we love you and we want you to be a part of our lives. And in order for that to happen, you need to get healthy.
Right.
And so that's the biggest thing. And a quick thing I'll share, because this is a big part about, I never thought I would do interventions, because I always pictured it as this big, dramatic, media driven because of the TV show. And I think back to when I was in a very well-known eating disorder treatment program, and it was family, it was a family week, and my mom and my dad and my brother were out visiting. And this is back in 1998, maybe. And they were told to share all of the ways that I had caused harm to them with me. And the idea was, this was meant to be truth and love. And I remember, but this was before we did a lot of talk about how important our words are and our verbiage. And I remember my brother sitting across from me and sharing with me that he didn't ever want to be around me. He's an older brother, and he didn't want to come home for holidays because he didn't want to deal with my antics. And just hearing a lot of the negatives of what he didn't want. But the reality was, what my brother, and I realize this now, what my brother was trying to say is, I want to come home for holidays. I want to be around you. And in order for that to happen, I need you to change.
Right.
And you know, that idea of being able to share with a family how important their words are and how important it is, the way that you're presenting it, now that really needs to be presented out of love.
Judy, how does insurance factor into mental health cost and substance abuse?
It pays for it. In most cases, most of the insurance, and we're contracted with all the major payer resources. Oddly enough, we give away our family services. Mm-hmm. We have a weekly resiliency group every Thursday night that's held virtually online, so parents can, and spouses and children of those that are suffering from this disorder, they can log in and they can get the help they need. We have a workshop we do every quarter, and it's a two-day workshop, and this is what we do. We teach them how to start that healthy communication and healthy boundaries. So we give away our trade secrets, and that's the heartbeat of what the Blanchard Institute does.
We got about a minute. Is there an ideal treatment process you'd recommend for somebody?
Really, you know, with the ideal treatment process, it's being able to do some extensive diagnostic and understanding what an individual is dealing with as far as mental health diagnoses go. A lot of times substance use is just the very beginning, something that we can see, but there's other things that are going mm-hmm. on as well. So a lot of the times what we're recommending is a residential level of treatment, where somebody's actually going away and they're staying in a program for 60 to 90 days. And then they're transitioning. That's really people. A lot of times, one of the challenges is people think, like, that's my treatment and I'm done. But the reality is, that's really the beginning. And so the most important things are what comes after that. So you've gone and you've done a foundation of treatment, but now you need a transition back into a little bit more of a normal life, but we want you to do that slowly. And so we're often recommending a partial hospitalization program, which we call PHP, where you're either living at home or maybe you're living in a recovery residence, and you're slowly starting to integrate back in. And then the next step would be for the intensive outpatient program. So decreased amount of treatment, increased amount of school or work time. So starting to learn and transition into that daily living.
We're going to go to a break and hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we want to talk about visiting angels, and we'll also hear from Blanchard Institute again. So stay with us on Town Talk. Before we went back to the radio, we were talking about some of the things going on with the Chamber of Commerce. We talked about the annual meeting last week. We had some awards we gave out. Our Outstanding Board Member of the Year was Rod Beard with Charlotte Payroll. Does anybody know, you know Rod Beard? Anybody know Rod Beard?
Yeah, I know Rod.
Yep. Very involved person. He was recognized as our Outstanding Board Member of the Year. Stacy Bright with Advanced Wealth Strategy. She was our Outstanding Volunteer of the Year. Montez Pogue here at Fifth Third Bank in Cornelius, our Ambassador of the Year. We also had Karen Bentley, David Frescator, Roger Lehman, Stephen Melton, all people who served the Board of Directors from 2018 to 2023. You, Steve Melton, is in Rotary with us, very active in the Chamber of Commerce. Of course, Douglas Marion was the 2023 Board Chair of the Chamber of Commerce for the last year, and Advance Wealth Strategies, we thanked him. Case Warnamonde, he is Bella Creative. Case is somebody who puts on the Catawba Walks, and he has the Tap House downtown. And again, he was recognized with the Distinguished Service Award. John Cherry Community Service Award went to Lisa Mayhew Jones, Smithfield Community Coalition. Lisa's been a big part of our community. Worked with the Kiwanis organization I'm a part of to get the splash pad down there. So a lot of people that we recognize with the Chamber of Commerce. Stuart, you have a healthcare forum, and we have a couple of minutes. So what is the healthcare forum? And the next one is like next week, right?
It was actually yesterday. It was yesterday. Last Tuesday of every month. We've been doing it for 17 years in Mooresville. It's the largest gathering of healthcare providers in the area, one of the largest in the Charlotte area. It's essentially a combination of healthcare networking and education. We have a different speaker every month. But the format we've used for about 16 of those 17 years, and we get about 35 to 50 people every month. It's pretty consistent. But it is open to the public as well. So we encourage anyone to attend. You don't have to be in healthcare. We have other non-healthcare businesses join in who want to work with healthcare providers. So it's been a great group. We meet up at Tarabella Lake Norman, which is the largest assisted living community in the greater Lake Norman area.
I've actually spoken there before.
Excellent.
Several years ago, but
excellent.
Yes.
I should have remembered that.
we probably got about 1 minute left. I mentioned that you're in Rotary with me. For people who don't know what Rotary is, what is Rotary?
Rotary is a service organization. It's great in that Rotary gives back to the community. Of course, it's a worldwide organization with hundreds or thousands of clubs around the world. But what Rotary is usually business leaders in the community who put service projects together locally, internationally, for the greater good of the world. And it's always a great organization I've been involved with a couple of different times.
Okay. We also have on Thursday, April the 4th, so next week, we have a ribbon cutting. It's going to be at Phoenix Physical Therapy in Charlotte, but it's North Charlotte, so a Metromount Parkway Suite. I think that's down at Exit 18. Suite 108. We did 52 ribbon cuttings last year.
Wow.
52
wow.
Ribbon cuttings with the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. So that's really cool.
The Phoenix group was great. I had a crick in my neck. They cured me.
There you go. For those of you streaming with us, we're going back live on the radio in about 15 seconds. Thank you for joining us today on Town Talk, and we'll be right back.
Town Talk continues now. Here's your host, Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell, on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. I'm here with Stuart Maddow. He is the General Manager of Visiting Angels Lake Norman. Judy Godwin. Goodwin. I said Godwin. Goodwin. Goodwin. I said Godwin's twice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I
haven't. You're dead.
Goodwin.
I'm good, not God.
Yeah.
She's not that good.
I know a Godwin. That's why I did that. Judy Goodwin, Director of Community Relations at the Blanchard Institute. Jennifer Stanger with the Director of the Blanchard Associates. And we were talking about this just before we went on the radio. Stuart, you graduated from the Ohio School of Broadcast Technique, degree in radio and television production, public relations. And here you are in healthcare. How did you do that?
It's an interesting road from that. My first career was in broadcasting. I was a sports reporter. I interviewed Michael Jordan, Nolan Ryan, all my heroes. But then the woman I was dating at the time had moved to Charlotte, said, hey, come on down, check it out. What do you think? Came down, loved the Charlotte area. She goes, let's get married. I said, okay. So I moved down here. And what I did first was I had a bookstore where Whole Foods is in Huntersville.
I remember
that.
It was
the Book Nook. I was there for many years, but Amazon essentially put us out of business. And I was looking, okay, what are my skill sets? Public relations, marketing. I met a couple, Creighton and Tracy Gibson, who own Home Instead Senior Care in Statesville. They hired me to do their marketing. That was 17 years ago. And that's how I got into healthcare. What really benefited me, though, sadly, is my mom had Alzheimer's. Uh-huh. I was her caregiver for the last 6 months of her life. But that has been, if there was anything good to come out of it, it helped me understand what people are going through through the aging process.
Right.
So I've been involved in, you know, a wide variety of senior care businesses, and this will be my final spot with Visiting Angels because I love home care. That's where people want to be.
You guys do a heck of a job promoting. Just this morning when I was talking to Justin about who I had, he started singing your little jingle, and he knew it.
Everyone knows the jingle.
Can you sing it for us?
Visiting Angels, I pray.
Actually, you do a much better job than Justin, I will tell you that. Okay, for those that don't know, what is Visiting Angels?
So we are a home care company. We provide services in the home for seniors. 95% of seniors want to stay at home. Every study shows they are happier at home, they live longer at home, they have better health care outcomes than going into a facility. We're trying to meet that need. There are a zillion different competitors. When I started in this business 17 years ago, we had 4 competitors in the Lake Norman area. Now we probably have 64 competitors. So it's home care. People who need assistance with mobility or bathing or dressing, or they just need some companionship. 2/3 of our clientele have dementia, have memory loss. So our caregivers who are very experienced go through a very stringent training program and how to interact with those with dementia and to give them the highest quality of life.
Stuart, talk about the types of care that Visiting Angel provides.
So the most common is probably meal preparation, preparing meals, reminding clients to take their medications. You'd be amazed how many don't want to be compliant with taking their medications. And once again, mobility issues. So a lot of people using walkers, canes, wheelchairs. We have bedbound clients. Mm-hmm. We have some clients where they're as healthy as you would think, but they have the memory loss and they can't be on their own. So we can provide service as little as 10 minutes up to 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We can meet whatever need the particular client has.
I was on your website last night just looking at it. And when you say Visiting Angels Lake Norman, you cover the whole lake. Just talk about all the areas.
We truly do. We're in 4 counties. So we cover all the cities that are around the lake. So North Mecklenburg, Huntersville, Cornelius, Davidson, Mooresville. We go up to Statesville. And then we'll also cover Sherrill's Ford, which is in Catawba County, and then Denver, which is in Lincoln County. So yes, truly around the lake.
And you just hit on it, but I was going to ask, why is in-home care the most desired route? Because most seniors want to stay in their home.
People, you know, I hate to say it, and I have worked in facilities, but I hate to say it, the perception of a lot of nursing homes is bad, and it's accurate. And even in our community, there are not many options that you would want mom or dad to be in a facility. They can't usually hire quality people. The regulation burdens that they're under are extreme. Some of them are worthy. We're under regulation as well. We're a licensed agency. You know, I've been in these facilities, many of us have, and it's just not an environment for healing or for lifestyle. People want to be at home. With the one-on-one care that we can provide, it's not just the hands-on care. These people become their buddies. Uh-huh. They become really close with their clients. There's a bond that is established. And I never sugarcoat it. You're bringing a stranger into your home the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But once you get over that first one or two visits, 99 times out of 100, this is the clients love it.
But you don't have health care. You don't do health care.
Technically, we are non-medical, but it's interesting. The state requires us to have nurses oversee all of our care, which we do. Technically, we're non-medical, but we do actually more than most assisted livings can do because we can do a Hoyer lift, which is an electronic lift that can take someone out of their bed if they're totally immobile. We can do a lot more things than most assisted livings can do. So you would think it's a medical service, but technically it's considered non-medical.
You heard me ask Judy a while ago about, you know, paying for it. How do people pay for the senior care services you provide?
A big misconception is that Medicare is going to pay for long-term care. Medicare pays for nothing. Mm-hmm. Medicare will pay for short-term rehabilitation and some nursing care. 90%, 80% of our clientele is private pay. There are a few options out there. If they have a long-term care insurance policy, we're talking about Steve Melton from Rotary. He sells long-term care insurance. That's a specialty policy that can cover for home care. And then there are a lot of benefits for veterans. So we're trying to get the word out because the VA doesn't do a great job of getting the word out about all the free in-home care options that veterans have. So we serve a lot of veterans, but for the most part, it's out of your pocket. anywhere from $28 to $38 an hour. I won't sugarcoat that. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. I know you're in Rotary with me. How are some other things that you guys are involved in the community in terms of the
Well, in addition to that, we have the Lake Norm, the South Iredale Healthcare Forum, which mm-hmm. I facilitate, which is the largest gathering of healthcare providers. We meet up in Mooresville. I initially was one of the main persons to get the Alzheimer's Association to bring their Alzheimer's Walk to the Iredale County area. So I facilitated the Alzheimer's Walk for about 12 years. I passed the baton on a few years ago. But once again, with my mother having had Alzheimer's, it's personal to me as well. So I've also facilitated, and Visiting Angels is going to be involved in this, many healthcare caregiver conferences and caregiver summits in the area. We usually hold them at a large church for family caregivers, professional caregivers, to educate them on caregiving technique.
How can people find out how to navigate the senior care landscape?
Well, that's a great question. They can call me. That's the one thing. I've been doing this for 17 years. We always encourage people to call us. If I can't help you, I usually know who can. I have to admit I'm as well connected in healthcare in the Lake Norman area as anybody. So if I don't know, I usually know the person that can help them. I get calls all the time.
Right.
We can't afford you. What can you do? Well, I know there are some other resources out there. They're limited, but I will connect people to those resources.
And if somebody wanted to get a hold of Visiting Angels, how do they do that here in Lake Norman?
It's probably the best. Google us. You can read all about it. Get our phone number. I can give it at 704-892-8886. But if you want to email me or anything, just go to our website. Just Google Visiting Angels Lake Norman, and you'll get all the information about us that you would want.
And Judy, same thing. If somebody wanted to get a hold of the Blanchard Institute or wanted some kind of information on substance abuse, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Definitely our website, and you can actually click in on the website and send us an inquiry, especially if you have a loved one. But you can call 704-288-1097.
Do you have a success story that you'd like to share of just one maybe family or somebody that you guys worked with that just really made your day, or you felt fulfilled?
I probably got 50 of them, but one that comes to mind happened a few years ago, whereas the dad was just resistant to have anyone to provide care. I ain't going to do that. I'm fine. You know, he had some dementia, did not realize he had some memory loss. Literally talk to the adult daughter. The adult daughter is usually the one who are making decisions in these situations. Those are the people I usually am the one interacting with, or the adult son. But most of the time it's the adult daughter. And she would call me crying almost every day for about a week or two. How are we going to get Dad on board? What I've learned over the years is the simplest approach is the best. So I met with the gentleman a couple times. The last time I met with him, I won't say his name, but I said, Mr. So-and-so, why don't we just try it? Just see how it goes. He reluctantly, because he realized it was coming from love from his daughter, tried it. He ended up loving the caregivers that we had. We had him for years. It was the greatest experience. He apologized. Oh, I can't believe I was not on board with this. And everything, you know, worked out perfectly. But like I said at the beginning, you're inviting a stranger into your home the first time.
How do you solicit? We got only less about 30 seconds. How do you solicit your angels?
Well, my son is our recruitment mm-hmm. coordinator. It's a full-time job. It's the most, since COVID, the most difficult aspect of our business is finding qualified people. Luckily, we staff over 98% of our requests.
Wow.
We're going to go to our commercial break with our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to stay with the Blanchard Institute and Visiting Angels. So those of you listeners, come back on Town Talk, and we'll be back in just a second. We were talking about Chamber of Commerce activities a little while ago. Next Thursday, April the 4th, we have a coffee connection, 8:30 to 10 a.m. It's going to be at Purify IV right here in Jeton Village, just a couple of
right
doors.
Next door.
Just next door to you, Purify IV, coffee connection, 8:30 to 10. It's a chance to network. How many networking events do you go to other than your own healthcare forum?
Well, you know, we're involved in a couple chambers, so mm-hmm. I would say in a year's time, well over a dozen. I don't go to all of them.
Right.
I, you know, I have to pick and choose because you guys do so many. But enjoy it. Always enjoy connecting with other business leaders.
You know, you mentioned my mother is somebody that she has macular degeneration. Mm. So she can't see well enough to drive. She can see Judy, but she really can't drive. She doesn't hear as well anymore. And so we had her in not an assisted living center, an independent living center. And mom's like, I think she's 82. And she said, I don't want to be there anymore. There are old people there. Okay, mom. So we brought her home and we got her a condo. And so she lives there now. But she can't drive on her own. I live up here in Lake Norman. My brother's in York. My sister's in Charlotte. We're not local. She wants to go to the grocery store. She's got to wait for somebody. She's probably the perfect candidate for somebody with visiting angels to come by because sometimes she just gets lonely.
Yeah, and I didn't mention earlier, transportation is one of the most common services we provide. I mean, and your mom would be the atypical candidate for something like that.
And visiting angels, although that's not Lake Norman, you have a visiting angels in York County.
There are 600 visiting angels across the country.
Yeah. You mentioned Alzheimer's and dementia. You know, I've struggled with both of those with grandparents. You know, my grandfather had Alzheimer's. Both grandmothers fell into dementia, so I understand
it's
that.
It's all too common. Yeah. And once you're 80, you're about 50-50 chance that you're going to have Alzheimer's or some form of advanced dementia.
It's such a hard thing to watch.
It's devastating.
Yeah. For those of you who are watching us on all the social media, we're going back live on the radio in just a few seconds. So thank you very much for staying with us here on Town Talk on WSIC.
Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell is on WSIC with Town Talk. Join in the conversation by calling 844-STUDIO-4. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. I am here with Stuart Maddow, who is the General Manager of Visiting Angels Lake Norman, Jennifer Stanger, Director of the Blanchard Associates, and Judy Goodwin, Director of Community Relations with the Blanchard Institute. And Judy, Jerry Godwin was a very, very close friend of mine. He's passed away now, but he was a very close friend of mine in JC's. And so Judy Goodwin and Jerry Godwin, that's just on my brain. So
I get it.
I apologize, but I was thinking about him. Before we went to break, we were talking with Visiting Angels. We were talking about some of the things that you guys do. But I want to get back over here to Blanchard because there's so many things that I want to ask. When people use drugs, do they know that they're going to cause problems? I mean, do they know there's going to be some kind of dire impact on them?
Of course.
Yeah. But they do it anyway.
Of course.
Well, I think a lot of times it goes to some of the experimentation. And so when people start, I don't think that they are thinking it's going to have a dire impact on them. You know, I think it kind of goes into, I'm just going to try it. I'm going to see what it's like. I'm going to dabble. And you know, I don't think for anything that becomes an unhealthy coping skill or addiction, I don't think anyone really starts it and then says, this is where I'm going to do this and this is where it's going to take me.
And I would have said that was so true with the hippie lettuce back in the 70s.
Hippie lettuce. Okay. I know what we're talking about.
But in today's world that we live in, there is no safe experimentation.
No, absolutely.
There is none. You can drink a beer. In fact, a guy drank a beer a few weeks ago and died.
Yep, we knew
it was
a teenager.
Laced with fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can smoke a joint.
A beer was laced with fentanyl.
First beer.
How did the fentanyl get into a beer?
14 or 15.
Yeah, 14 years old.
It was a synthetic. Well, it was a synthetic drug, but that was meant to be like a Xanax. They thought it was a Xanax, but it was laced with fentanyl. Mm-hmm. Got dropped into the beer.
Somebody spiked the beer.
Yep.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question. One of the fads that I see now, and I'm not a smoker. I occasionally once 6 months, I'll smoke a cigar or something like that with the guys, particularly Joe Vagnone with Local Biz Now. But I see a lot of people vaping. Mm-hmm. Is vaping bad for you?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because I just can't imagine. Sure, there may not be the smoke. And it seems so addictive, because I was with somebody that seemed to be going out of the room and just vaping.
Constantly.
What does that do to your lungs?
It's a very similar impact.
They're seeing popcorn lung, which in the early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And the damage to the lungs, the damage to the oral health of the throat and the mouth. And so we are just now beginning to get studies back on that, as well as the energy drinks and the impact it's having on the liver. People that have never drank alcohol are being diagnosed with hepatic livers because of the energy drinks. And so you
Energy drinks.
Energy drinks. Yeah. I won't name the
type. Okay, sure.
You know, don't want to do that, but
well, and I, you know, I, the other thing that I would say about the vaping that I think has also just really created it to be much worse than it was before is so we have actually cracked down with the cigarettes, right? And so in order to smoke a cigarette, you needed to take a break. You needed to leave the building. You needed to walk, you know, 15 yards away from a building in order to smoke a cigarette. Now with the vaping, even though, you know, technically places are still like vaping is included as no smoking in the buildings, you'll see, I mean, you'll get a little whiff, right? You'll get a little like pineapple-y whiff or this scent. And people are just vaping because they can do it so discreetly that it's not nearly as obvious. It doesn't have the same smell to it. And so the frequency that people are vaping is just off the roof now. And so adding that to the damage that it's causing on the lungs.
What's the effects of drugs like Xanax and Percocet?
So those are going to be, so what do you mean by the effects of those drugs?
Well, are they going to be an addictive drug too?
Absolutely. I mean,
is that going to be something that you guys are going to be treating as well?
Absolutely.
We do treat.
Yeah. And so those are actually one of the more addictive drugs. Just because of the, as you start to come off of a drug, as you're coming down from the effects of the drug, the body and the brain crave it more. And so there's this constant need to have more of it. A lot of the drugs that you can get via prescription, it does create that sense of it becomes more and more addictive because they have initially been easier to get. And that's what, you know, even when we talk about the opioid epidemic, it all stems from drugs that are being prescribed. And then as we become addicted to them, as the body and the brain are becoming more addicted to them, we crave it more and more and more. And so now we're going outside of the prescriptions and trying to get them online, trying to get them under, you know, black market, getting them. And then we don't have, that's when it's becoming laced with right. other drugs. And so that's where it becomes even more dangerous.
Judy, you mentioned hippie lettuce, which I've heard that before, but yeah. not in a while. But we're seeing more and more states legalize. I don't think it's legalized in North Carolina yet.
No.
I don't think
not
so.
Yet.
But what are your views about the legalization of marijuana? Do you consider that a gateway drug, or what do you think about that?
Of course, I do believe that marijuana in any form is a gateway drug, and they can legalize it just like they did with prohibition and alcohol, but it doesn't mean you need to smoke it or eat it or rub it on your skin. It comes in all forms now. You can go to a vape shop and you can buy CBD products, you know, in lotions and brownies and gummy bears and drinks. And so you don't need to use marijuana and then drive your kids to soccer practice. And so even if it's legal, trying to regulate folks not to use it and then show up for work. We have a lot of folks that are getting in trouble. Yeah, I buy this at the vape shop, but it's a marijuana product.
Right. You know, a heartbreaking story I heard. There's an influential business leader in this community, close friend of mine, who had a beautiful, beautiful sister, very athletic, musically talented. She went to a party. Her best friend's parents introduced her to drugs that she got hooked on. Her parents. And you know, the individual asked his sister, you know, you've got to stop. And she couldn't stop. And then she, you know, lost her life with drugs. And I mean, but to think kids' parents introducing other children to a drug is just heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a lot of young adults that come in that are predisposed. It's generational, and wouldn't have mattered what they tried. If it was mood altering and made them feel different than they felt, then they were going to like it. And In many of our homes, we see that they're coming from a home where one or more parents are struggling with a mental health or substance use disorder.
Judy, I asked Stuart this just a while ago. We've got about 3 minutes. Tell me a story of somebody, without speaking specifically to the family, that you turned their life around and you made a positive change.
Wow. I've been doing this 34 years.
And I know there's countless, just like Stuart said.
There are many. I have a young man that they were doing an intervention on.
Right.
In fact, Ward was doing an intervention on. And it wasn't going well. And I had a history with this young man prior to Blanchard. And I came in the office, and he was like, whoa, Miss Judy, what you doing here? I said, I work here now. And so he just said, go in there and tell him to forget it. You know, I'll go. And just knowing that I had touched this young man in some way on his previous struggle, and he was being very obstinate and mm-hmm. difficult. And just to know that somehow, something I said before, I can't tell you how many times I see people that are, their lives change. I get a thank you card from a gentleman who, from his kids, all signed the card because they got their dad back.
Wow.
That card every year, thank you. It's on his sobriety birthday. And he got to be the dad that those kids deserved. And so I tell people all the time, you know, I would do this for nothing, but don't tell Ward Blanchard.
Well, and I know you said this is a calling for you.
It is a calling. I'm supposed to retire soon, and all my friends have retired, but I go to bed every night knowing that we made a difference somewhere. Somebody's life changed today because of what we do and what you do.
I feel the same
at Visiting
way.
Visiting Angels.
At the end of it all, if I've made an impact, and our owners, Tina and Scott Goins, have made an impact in the community, that's what we want to do.
We make a difference, and lives change, and people don't die from this illness, and they are dying. And so we're just going to keep fighting.
And Jennifer, you were in fashion advertising, but you felt the calling too.
That's right. I did. It just... I actually remember the moment I was at work, working in the advertising agency in New York City. And I just remember the moment when I started working there. And I remember kind of being a little judgmental and stereotypical about my coworkers and just that the industry itself and the demeanors. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm never going to let myself, you know, become like this kind of cutthroat and lack of morals. And then I just remember this eye-opening moment about a year and a half later. And I just remember sitting there saying, oh my gosh, I'm one of them. Like, I've become one of them. And that was really the start to me saying, I need to get out of this.
Well, it's good that you got out of it. And I remember the book Nook, but I think you found your calling. If it's Wednesday afternoon, we're talking about Our Towns on Town Talk on WSIC. We'll see you next week.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC, Statesville, W290DK Mooresville, W264CU Statesville.